Welcome to New Realities. This is Alan Steinfeld, and this program is about the ongoing evolution of our consciousness, our body, mind, and spirit, and how we are really entering a new time. There seems to be an unfoldment of new possibilities, of new potentials that lie at the heart of where we're coming into. And I think there's no better way to really understand that and talk to than to talk to someone who really studies these rhythms and these rhythms of change. And tonight I'll be talking to David Katzmeier, who has a study, an organization, a career, what would you call it? I would call it calorhythms. That's what I would call it. David, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Alan.
I've been following your work because you've been tracking the cycles of change, I would say for the last 20 years, and I think you've come up with some incredible discoveries. But why don't you just lay out a little bit what calorhythm, what your work has been all about?
Well, it basically looks at the fractal relationship between the cycles that go within each of us in our lives and the nations in which we live, and even beyond that, the world community. So back in the 1970s, biorhythms became popularized. We began to understand that there's physical, emotional, and intellectual rhythms that move in each of us with periodicity from the day we're born. And we discovered, since doctors in the 19th century first discovered the physical cycle, the emotional cycle, and the intellectual cycle, they put it all together, we found out that these things move in consistent highs and lows, undulating energies in our lives. So you merely calculate how long you've been alive from the day you're born, and you know where you are in the cycle.
So wait.
Oh, yeah.
So you're saying, and of course the ancient Chinese knew this, that everything has a cycle. There's a cycle to every aspect of life, in a sense. We've forgotten that in the West, but you're reminding us of that. That the world is cyclical, of course, seasons. So the idea of measuring the highs and lows. So you're saying there's three main cycles you focus on in the individual, right? The spiritual, the mental, and the physical.
Absolutely, and it's not quite a great leap to when we rediscover that the cycles are moving within each of us internally, to find that these cycles are moving in history as well. To the West, this seems to be a new concept. We tend to look at history as moving in a linear fashion, a world of physical causality, cause and effect only. But the ancients, as you mentioned, the ancient Chinese calendar with a 12-year cycle. In fact, the name Ka itself comes from ancient Egyptian for energy. It's found in many languages. And Kala is Sanskrit for time. So Kala rhythms are the changes of energy through time.
I see. Okay, so I don't think I've ever asked you how you got into this work. What did you notice that was so fascinating that no one else had noticed that you were aware of, or who were you influenced by? So, yeah, give me a little background and beginning behind all this.
Well, the spark of inspiration didn't come from the study of time itself. I, as a younger man, found time very confusing. I used to sit and ponder about time and say, I don't understand what time is. What really struck me was in a moment that I can recall when I was fascinated by a very unoriginal concept, that the pattern of everything is in everything. You know, these memes, these monads, these, well, what we later call fractals. The mathematician Bruno Mandelbrot gave us a wonderful word in 1970 called fractals, which are self-repeating patterns within patterns within patterns and so forth. That fascinated me. Ancient Sufi mystics talked about it. Rumi talking about the microcosm and the macrocosm. The Eastern religions, particularly yoga and Hinduism, are replete with images of the great and the small and so forth. And we could go into many examples of that. But at the same time, when I learned about the internal rhythms of a person, I began to realize that what is here is elsewhere, what is great is also small, is come into play when we look at ourselves and the societies we create. So the cycles that are within us are the moving trends of history as well.
I see. But you're also saying history, countries, nations have their own cycles.
Another unoriginal concept. Italian philosopher Giovanni Battista spoke of a character of a people, and you could think of a nation as if it were a person. And German philosopher Oswald Spengler said that the patterns within a person's life play out in longer periods of time in a civilization. A civilization has a birth, a childhood, adulthood, senescence, and eventually death, going through the phylogenetic development that you'll find in a person. So it was really one more step beyond these well-founded concepts to find that there's such a thing as biorhythms of a nation.
Well, but how, and now there's also, let's keep going, a biorhythm of the planet itself, right? Or
that is correct.
Of the planet, or of Earth, or of the consciousness of humans on the Earth? I think those are two different things, aren't they?
That's a very good question, because, you know, Lovelock talks about Gaia, and there are energies of the Earth. There are various regions that have their own identities, and the energy remains there, which is one of the reasons in the cycles of time that you have power shifts to different parts of the globe, because power will shift to the more physically based parts of the world, the more emotionally based parts of the world, and the more intellectually based parts of the world, depending on where the rhythms of time are, because physical, emotional, and intellectual energies are rising and falling. So the power shifts to wherever you have a corresponding geo-fixed energy base based on where the rhythms are rising and falling.
And so, has that checked out, though? Because if we track history, we could say the Greeks were a big dominant force at one point, you know, from about...
going a physical high.
Right. And then the Romans came in.
Right. Intellectual high, absolutely.
And it was the Byzantine and the Roman Catholic empires, and then the British, now the Americans. So what can you say, where do you track the future going? Okay, it's 2013. 13 is an interesting number. What's happening now? And we'll be talking about this week with David Katzmeier in New York with a bunch of other people at the Meta Center on January 24th. You can check my website, newrealities.com, for the information. It'll be at the Meta Center. But anyway, we'll be talking more about that. Just for the audience listening tonight, what's happening? Where are we going now?
Let's take a look at the three main energies that make up a person: physical, emotional, and intellectual. This is the three-legged stool that makes up a person, that makes up the cycles of a nation that last for decades, and the cycles of world human consciousness that take centuries to complete. A physical cycle, hundreds of years long, that gives us the industrial era, the military-industrial complex of the machine age. That is physical. And then there is the emotional cycle, hundreds of years long, too, that rises and falls. And when it rises, we have a romantic era. But when it goes low, we have the repressive Victorian era. And the intellectual cycle, again, in the world, hundreds of years long, which is when we're more inventive. Are we in a Baroque era? Are we coming out of the stupid century in which we were born, the 20th century? Pardon my for saying that, but we outbuilt our own sense. Where are we right now in centuries-long cycles of physical, emotional, intellectual?
I just wanted to spend this 20th century for one second. Yeah. It was an awful time and a wonderful time. I mean, there were millions and hundreds of millions of people killed in war, and we've also developed the greatest technology the Earth has ever seen.
Yes, and that's
so
absolutely true.
It was definitely a double-edged sword, the 20th century. I like to think of it, you know, as really a time of evolution, and of course there was the dark side, but I think it was more of an upbeat generation than a downbeat one. I mean, century.
Anyway. I have to agree with that. And what you just said points out cycles in conflict, because the 19th and the 20th century was an example of a cycle being high with a cycle being low.
Oh, well, let's look at the 20th century. What was high and what was low in the 20th century?
The physical cycle was high. We were very prone to war. We had the world wars, Everything was machines, bigger, faster. Our whole societies were built around the mass production factory and so forth. While we were making these startling achievements and the working class was in its heyday, the standard of living for people in the industrialized world rose greatly. We had better sanitation. We had better health in lots of ways. While at the same time, the emotional cycle of the world was low, and the intellectual cycle of the world was low.
Okay.
And that, yeah.
Yeah, no, I appreciate you saying that, and it seems obvious, but where do you track your origins of cycles from, and how do you know how long a cycle lasts, and where does it start, and how do you know this? I mean, because you're saying you're kind of making it into a science, and maybe it is, but where's your jumping off point?
This was a great dilemma on figuring out the world's cycles. The study of human behavior relies on the anecdotal evidence of our history. Therefore, any kind of psychology or sociology is a pseudoscience. But one of the reasons why it took me a while to place where we are in the world cycles was because I didn't know what was the birthday of human consciousness. You see, if you're plotting biorhythms, I'm looking at it on three levels. The same set of cycles occurring rapidly in each of us is biorhythms. And the cycles occurring on a national level, the cycles of the United States, well, those things last for decades. And in the world, for affecting all of the countries at the same time, those cycles last centuries long.
Well, so I would say the physical cycle probably began when Homo sapiens started to develop civilization or something like that.
These are the kinds of questions I found myself asking when I wanted to say, well, if we know how long the cycles are, where do we begin them? So the journey of understanding biorhythms was we eventually discovered that there is a 23-day physical cycle in our bodies.
How did you discover that?
Oh, I didn't discover this. This goes back into research that began with doctors in Vienna and in Europe in the 19th century. And what was happening is there were independent discoveries where they were finding out that patients would respond better on some days or on others. They were finding that there were emotional highs and lows that could be observed with patterns in human behavior. College professors, there were two college professors that independently discovered that some students would test better at a certain time of a month than another. And this was consistent on a per student basis. And so they started to say, well, they put their notes together, and over the decades, they found that there's a 23-day cycle physically, a 28-day cycle emotionally, and a 33-day cycle intellectually. And they move consistently through these highs and lows of 23-day, 28-day, 33-day cycles in a myriad of patterns starting from the day that you're born.
Okay, so I can understand that. Now, how do you then apply it to human civilization?
That was the next step. This is something that occurred to me back in 1978 when I began to realize that there are trends in, well, United States was a wonderful example to study because we are a youth-oriented industrialized nation, and the young are always contemporaneous. That means that you're going to have a little bit of volatility in the current trends and not so much holding on to old tradition, because this was what Europeans call the new world. And so it's a fast moving society. Therefore, you can see quickly the changes in clothes, the style of cars, the style of music, and so forth, and find the patterns evident before you, around you, everywhere.
Okay, but then still, what did you track for the trend of the world? You can maybe track a trend for a country,
right?
Perhaps, but well, let's start with countries. What was the cycles for countries, emotional physical, well, intellectual.
The birth of the United States does have a birthday, and that is the American Revolution.
Right, right.
It broke away from our mother country of England and began a set of cycles, a new life of its own. We became the United States. We became a new country. And with that, a collective consciousness with a common future and so forth. And a nation has a life, as Giovanni Battista pointed out, as Oswald Spengler pointed out, and so on and so forth. So here you have a life form that is greater than a person. So the cycles are greater than the durations in a person. And through studying our behavior, I was able to determine that we have a 28-year physical cycle, a 36-year emotional cycle, and a 44-year intellectual cycle, moving through highs and lows, influencing society from the time the United States was born.
Okay, can I just see where are you at in this, and where are we at right now as a nation in this cycle?
The United States right now in 2013, we had an physical cycle right now is in the end of its high. And come spring, in just a few months, it's going to go through the midpoint where it crosses between high and low. And crossing the midpoint between high and low, going up or going down, as we're going to go down, always creates a brief hiccup in time. And so what I'm calling for is a brief industrial recession beginning any time after spring. We're going to be 1 year shakeup as this physical high goes low.
What is that going to look like then?
I think you're going to see a dip in some industrial stocks. And what's going to happen is it's going to have a slow downward influence on the industrial sector and our production levels and the quality of our durable goods. And you're going to see a little less enthusiasm in sports, a little less enthusiasm in energetic dancing. People are going to become a little less health conscious for the next 14 years, actually.
Okay, then where's our other cycles at now?
An emotional cycle was high until 2009. It crossed down in 2009, and there was upset and agitation. This is when you were starting to have all of the irate town hall meetings all across the country. This was a grassroots movement that gave birth to the Tea Party because they were calling for reform. So a physical downturn can cause an industrial recession, an emotional crossover, in this case downward, can cause people to be irate and upset. And that is declining. When cycles go low and they end the high, then it's a you stop expanding and you stop moving forward and you start looking back. So what's happening is this is the beginning of a nostalgia period. This is why movies like Lincoln have become very popular and a lot of themes are looking back and radio stations are starting to have rewind segments and just to this day in history segments. You're going to see that pervasively for the rest of this decade. Finally, I'm giving a lot. Intellectual cycle is still high until 2017. So you have a great interest in sciences. Take a look at the themes of cable television now and the Discovery Channel and the Science Channel and how much they're running on space. A lot of excellent programming on there. And people are more detail-oriented and interested. What, in brief, this decade marks an end of the high that we enjoyed in the previous decade. Despite the world cycles of crisis, another arena, and it is a lowering tide in America when we're going to stop expanding. We're going to stop expanding on the spending in government, which we've been doing when it was called for, according to the cycles. We're going to stop moving forward and outward, and we're going to pull up the drawbridge and start becoming more of an inward nation and looking back on our own recent decades.
Okay, I follow you. So now let's go to the world. Tell me how you were about to say before how you actually came up with the world cycles.
What's interesting about the world cycles, unlike the cycles of the United States and any nation, where you have a 28-year physical cycle, a 36-year emotional cycle, and a 44-year intellectual cycle, you are now on a world arena which is a great umbrella around all of human consciousness over all of the nations. These cycles are much longer. In fact, it turns out that they're exactly 12 times longer.
Well, how did you, you would tell me how you actually figured that out?
Yes, in the case of the United States, I tried doing multiples of biorhythms, and I found that they did not multiply evenly into each other. Mm-hmm. So I tried different periods of years. I tried turning it in from 23 days to 23 years. That didn't work. So I just looked at the behavior itself and found patterns that were consistent in the stock market, which I followed in detail, and trends in society of fashion, sports figures and whatnot, architectural changes and so forth. And I actually studied it for years to come to what was a pattern of 28, 36, and 44 years. So there's a whole story behind how I came up with those durations.
For the countries. For countries.
Now, for the world, I got a break. It turns out that the world cycles are exactly 12 times larger than the cycles of a nation. And the reason is because in both arenas, we have a duration which is divisible by the unit of a year. There are so many years involved with the nation. There's so many years involved in world change. Whereas in a person, the unit of division is a day. It's so many days, not so many years. Mm-hmm. So you're jumping tracks.
Right. Well, of course, yeah. The life of the world encompasses the life of nations and the life of individuals. So, yes. That makes sense, but
nocturnal rhythms tend to synchronize themselves with a natural phenomena of celestial motion. Founder of the Foundation for the Study of Cycles, Edward R. Dewey, wrote about this in one of his books, and how there is a natural approximation. So cycles within us are going to synchronize in so many days, and there are parallels in the moon with our biorhythms on the personal level, and there's correlation with the moon again, with the emotional cycle of so many years for a nation, and it fractals out again on the world. And there's examples we could go into, but that's too much detail right now. So the fact is, it's synchronized with days for biorhythms, for years on the rhythms of a country, and for years in rhythms of the world. And what the problem was, if I am able to come up with how long is each one of these cycles, physical, emotional, and intellectual, I don't have the advantage of saying I can begin on the birthday of the world. I mean, the United States had a beginning at the American Revolution. That's when we were born. Each of us knows our birthday when we were born, you know, unless there's no records of it, but most of us can say I was born on this date. So you start calculating from that day. How many days have you been alive? The cycle's this long. Here's where the cycles are today. This is where they'll be tomorrow. In the world, I didn't have that advantage. So what I had to do was look at the trends, and I finally got them in a position synchronized where I can take any period of history. It can be 3,000-4,000 years ago, looking at the ancient Egyptians, or whether you're looking at any civilization for which there are records are surviving, and at any period of time, I'll study about that period. I'll say, well, the cycles should be here based on that. And I'll look on the chart, and that's exactly where they are.
Wait, so how did you get that insight? I mean, where's
that insight was, well, I had a premonition that it was 12 years longer than that of a nation. I tried that first.
You just had a feeling. You just felt, and then you checked it out with history. Is that what you're saying?
In this case, yes, on how long the cycles were, but that didn't tell me what phase we were in. That didn't tell me when they peaked and when they troughed and when they would go through the midpoint of crisis between high and low. So I had to research history for that.
I see. Okay. Okay. I get it. So what was the keys in history that you did uncover?
One of the keys is when you have a point of crisis. And whenever you have a turning point where a cycle ends its low period and crosses up into a high, or ends its high period and crosses down into a low, you're going to have an upset in that period. Mm-hmm. So there are critical points of crisis in world cycles, and then there's also peaks and lows. Like, take, for instance, what we call the Dark Ages. That is a period preceding the Renaissance in which all of the cycles were low.
But that was just in Europe, they were all low. I mean, I think maybe in other parts of the world, they could have been higher, right?
A lot of people say, well, why did Italy come out of the Renaissance earlier? And if you look at the times right now, people are saying, why is power shifting between West and East?
And also North and South. South America is actually gaining a lot more prominence within the world scene, I think. I mean, at least I'm tuning into that.
You're quite right, and I've been saying the same thing, Alan, and it has to do with the fact that there are parts of the world that tend to be physically based, and parts of the world that tend to be emotionally based, and parts of the world that tend to be intellectually based.
Oh, really? And that's permanent, or is that like
yes.
fluid around
yes.
the planet?
Yes. That doesn't... In the process of mapping the globe, I'm doing a color-coded globe to map out these regions. Now, the physical cycle brought preeminence in the 19th and 20th century to regions such as North America and the part of Asia that was the Soviet Union.
Mm-hmm. I see. So wait, go over the, like, map out the world a little bit in these different preeminences. And I think there must be a slow shifting of that.
Exactly.
So, map it out a little bit so we get a real...
Okay. Now, from 1978 to 1990, we went through a 12-year period of crisis as the physical cycle, the 336-year physical cycle that had been high throughout the world, crossed down into the low period, crossing a day in the world last 12 years. So it was a bad day. For 12 years, from 1978 to 1990, we saw the fall of the Shah of Iran, the Iranian hostage crisis. We saw the Berlin Wall fall, the collapse of the Soviet Union, and the standoff in Tiananmen Square in China.
Yeah, but World War II was much worse than that.
World War II was an advent of the physical high, where might makes right. And what was happening, these were not intellectuals that were trying to take over the world. This was a physically high empire with an obvious emotional low because of the human cruelty that was going on. The mule, Adolf Hitler, was able to lead towards, like, we are deserving because we are the strongest. And so the guns were at play and the armies of power were marching.
Right, but that must have represented some point in world history, in the world cycle, right? Isn't that true?
One would think. Now, what's happened is every time that there is a crisis due in world cycles, a crisis happens, and yet it does not account for every crisis in the world.
Oh, I see.
Crisis happens when it is due, but it does not come only when
well,
it is
explain
due.
That a little bit. Talk about how you get that, like, logic. How do you make sense of that? Just curious.
A map of time will give you the influences of energies. It will tell you the undulations of highs and lows, but it does not predict actual events. So, as once said, was that history repeats itself, doesn't repeat itself exactly, but it rhymes. That's because we have free will. And so if the cycles are saying it's time for this tide to be rising or falling, this one's high, this one's low, or this is the point of crisis, that doesn't govern that you're going to do a specific action. People act as they will. Now, what was happening in the time of World War I and World War II is that we were having a propensity to fight. And we were insensitive and we're not very smart. Some of the war tactics of World War I and the Civil War were just plain stupid in retrospect, analyzed by military experts. And yet there were people out there marching and fighting and so forth. The Civil War was fought against the cruelty of slavery in North America, because there you have another example of a physical high and an emotional low, where might makes right and the hell with the human impact, insensitivity. And these things lead us prone to be warlike. So yes, the biggest wars were not fought during a pinpoint of crisis, a transitional point in the cycles, but they did occur during the physical high, emotional, intellectual low, when we had a propensity to fight. That is what we're moving out of. That's the brutality and the stupidity that came along with all the blessings of the Industrial Revolution. okay. all of the advances that we had. And that's why we had cycles in conflict with the benefits and the troubles.
Well, so let's see 2013, right? Here we go, coming in. I mean, 13 is a sort of different number. I know that's a different system, numerology. But how much do you account for these other systems like astrology and numerologies and, you know?
It's interesting. When I talk to astrologers and I ask them, they're taking a look at the external influence of celestial bodies upon us. I'm taking a look at the internal rhythms that are going within us in a society. And yet every time I compare notes, we come up with some conclusions.
Uh-huh. So what are we concluding for this year and as we head into the future? Because and I've been lecturing on this, what 2012 did, or the Mayan awareness of this calendar, is that we are no longer just Earth-based or solar-based. We're galactic-based. The Mayans reorientated our awareness that to the fact that we live in a bigger neighborhood. We're not just a solar system. We're a galaxy. We're a planet of the galaxy. So I think that changes something in the way Copernicus changed the idea that the Earth wasn't the center of the universe. So I think we're moving into a way bigger cycle, and maybe you have to look at, you know, hundreds of thousands of years for a galactic cycle, or at least our solar movement within the galactic plane.
You're right in so many ways. You know, Aristarchus and Copernicus pointed out that, our Earth-centric view of the universe is not correct. And we are getting to realize the cycles of things that are greater and outside of ourselves as part of this. Although the Mayans did not leave us any predictions on what happened at the end of the Mayan long count, which happened just last month, but they were following cycles of immense, and there is even a stella that was found where they were following a cycle of many, many millions of years.
Well, the Hindus as well. Though the Hindus also track many millions of years.
You know, beyond the Yugas and so forth, that's right, and the ages of Brahman, so many 432 million years and so forth. Every time he opens his eyes, a new universe is born. He blinks, it's the end of the universe, and a new one is created, and cycles even greater than that. And in fact, Kal is cycle, and Kalpa are the cycles in Hinduism, and these are the origins of the name Kala rhythms. But it's quite possible that the Mayan long count, which is a cycle of some 5,125 years long, plus some days, may in fact been their way of dividing the precession of the equinoxes, because this approximates one-fifth of the precession of the equinoxes. And I presented this to Mayanist Michael Coe, who's one of the leading authors. And I went to University of Pennsylvania, and he was doing a lecture, and I asked him if he believed that the Mayan long count might be their way of dividing the precession into fifths, because there are examples of them dividing so many things into five parts. And he said it's an interesting theory. He thought the same thing himself.
Well, you know what's also interesting, just to throw that in there, because the precession of the equinox is related to the tilt of the Earth and the kind of wobble on the axis, right?
Right.
When we are below the galactic equator, it seems like the axis is tilted one way, and as we rise above it, the axis is tilted towards a different star. That's the rotation of the equinox. So something to do with the solar movement is related to the wobble of the Earth.
Yeah, and there are cycles we can go into even greater than that. As we go around the galactic center of about, 20 million years long, we're not just going around on a flat disk of movement. We're going up and down like horses on a merry-go-round. And consequently, we are going through the galactic ecliptic periodically, rising above and below it. And so you're basically having different seasons of times over thousands of years. So it really comes into interest when you look at that we have such a thing as a Stone Age, Iron Age, Bronze Age, Silver Age, Golden Age, whatever. And this, the Greeks, a very eclectic society, was getting this from the Yugas. And so many people say that we're in what's now called the Kali Yuga, which is the lower part of the cycle, a very dark time, a winter of these great eras, as it were. were. But we are going to come out of this winter and rise into a new spring. So what's happening is we've gone from biorhythms to cycles of a country to cycles of the world history to talking about yugas of so many thousands of years, the precession of the equinoxes from which we get the zodiac, to eras of ages and eons of time. And really what's happening on every one of these scales is we're looking at the same pattern. There are seasons of development in a cycle, and cycles move within us and without us on all scales, great and small.
All right, so that okay, that's great, but where does that leave us right now in the history of the world? What's going on? What do we have to look forward to?
I told you about this theory of the world cycles, the physical cycle, 336 years long, emotional cycle, 432 years long, and an intellectual cycle, 528 years long. We talked about that it was high in the 20th century, and that the emotional and intellectual cycles were low in the 20th century, but not now. What happened? Yes, the physical cycle crossed down, castles crumbled, and the Berlin Wall fell, and so forth, but the emotional and intellectual cycles that were low, while China was a sleeping dragon and why India was considered a third world nation,
well, it still is. I'd like to tell you.
That's not going to last forever, because these cycles are rising up into a very rare event. A double crossover was occurring from 2000 to 2012, where both the emotional cycle and the intellectual cycle of the world were crossing up out of the low half through the midpoint of crisis to become high at the same time. That meant that the world was in crisis emotionally and the world was in crisis intellectually. And what do I mean to distinguish between the two? One of the things that is influenced by the emotional cycle is religion. And of course, on September 11th, 2001, we had through a religious war, a jihad, we had the attacks on Washington and New York. And this was on religious ideology. This was not a war necessarily over money or territory. This is a war over religious ideology. This is an emotionally upset day in the world. That was religious. Now, what do I mean by intellectually? That affects commodities and trading and banking. And by 2008, within that 12-year period from 2012, we had the housing collapse and international monetary collapse that reverberated around the world. The entire government of Iceland fell and was replaced in this crisis. So you had, and all the major corporations, you know, from Enron, and there's just a whole string of them, BCCI and all the other ones, that were going through these shakeups, these scandals, these collapses, and everything else that was going on. Anderson, they're just a whole long list. So as a result, this was a crisis intellectually that reflected in business and the wars over religious ideology. This was an upset in the emotional cycle. So what happens? It's basically reshuffling the deck. In the centuries to come, this century and the next century, the cycles are effectively going to be reversed from the last century to 20th century, whereas the physical cycle is not going to be high. It's going to be low. It already is. And the emotional and the intellectual cycles will be the ones that are high. The good news out of all of this crisis is that it's leading to what predictably is a less warlike time than the last two centuries from which we come. We are actually entering into an age of romanticism and an age of reason. Yes, we'll have our problems, but these are the predominant characteristics of our next two centuries.
Great. That is good. That sounds great. But when is the shift happening exactly? When do these crossover points occur?
We just got through it.
Just 2010 to 2012.
2000 to 2012 was the crisis.
I see. So we've passed through an emotional crisis on a planetary level and an intellectual crisis.
At the same time, yes.
At the same time. So both those cycles are building towards a high.
Yes.
And when is that going to peak? Or how long will this cycle last at this
point? Oh, this high is all through the century, all through the next century, and half of the next century in some parts. These two cycles, the emotional intellectual cycles, will not peak until the 22nd century.
So when you discovered this, you must have really been floored in a way, this particular aspect of your work.
Yes.
That it's like, wow, this is what you've been kind of working to decode, this time and the secrets of this time. And so would you say because these cycles are building, it gives us a boost in as a civilization to move in greater capacities in these ways? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, because you'll know what aspects of society are sunrise, what aspects of society are sunset. So you know where to set your goals and how to plan accordingly. So once you know how to navigate the currents of time, you'll do much better.
So what do you suggest people do, and countries and us as a planet, to navigate this time? And how do we do it? How would
we become less nationalistic? One, there was a book recently called "The World Is Flat." We're talking about how things are less proprietary and border sensitive, and that how manufacturing is actually a composite of having parts made in one place, shipped to another place for assembly, marketed and sold to another country, and so forth. And that is a trend that is absolutely going to continue. We're becoming more of a virtual world, thanks to the rising intellectual cycle giving us the information age and the internet revolution. This is all part of the rising intellectual cycle. So things don't have to be as physical. You know, some people don't even have to physically travel to be at their job. They can log on with their computer. So we're becoming a little bit more introverted. We're becoming a lot more intellectual. We're becoming a little less territorial and a little less physically aggressive.
Well, I think the internet is a part of that, because we don't have to be we have the whole world right there at our fingertips, in a sense. So we can be more self-contained. We could be less centralized. We can start to build smaller, more solid communities. Yeah, so everything, maybe that's a symptom of the age. So this is really an uptime for the planet. It sounds great.
Yeah, the crisis that we've been going through in the last decade or more is actually the birth pangs of a new era. So when the last century, the physical cycle was high, that's the machine age. This century, the intellectual cycle will be high, that's the information age. But what's not getting as much of attention is the fact that the emotional cycle is rising too. This is going to affect women all over the world. This is why you're seeing in this crossover, this crisis, this shuffling, you notice that all the leaders that are falling in the Middle East and the Arab Spring, Mubarak falls, Gaddafi falls, and so on and so forth. You have uprisings in Yemen. You had an uprising that wasn't successful in Iran and so forth. Things are turning over in Syria, Saudi Arabia is getting shook up. And what's happening is misogynist cultures are going to not be able to have gender slavery in an emotional high world, because an emotional cycle invariably brings greater compassion and cooperation and elevation for women. And so this is one of the things that you're going to see worldwide, along with the rise in romanticism and just basically human caring.
I see. So, all right. Well, I think you've really gave us a beautiful outline of these rhythms. So you're going to be in New York on the 24th with a panel of other people talking about cycles. What do we have to look forward to at that discussion, which I'll be leading? So
those who fail to leave the past now will become part of it. The world that you may have known that you were born into is not the world of today. And so don't be afraid of change. Embrace it, because we are going to change to things that bring us a lot of improvements. No era is perfect. No era is free of problems. But the changes to which we're going are going to take us out of a time where we upheld our own sense and into a time where we find new solutions and we clean up some of the industrial pollution that we've created around the world.
Uh-huh. That's great. I understand. So do you see cycles of countries merging? Do we become a one world unicycle sort of?
That's a great question. I do believe that nations are going to maintain their identity. Now, while the world cycle means that the physical cycle being low in the world means that we're put our fences down and have a free flow of ideas across open boundaries, but the national identities will remain. Mm-hmm. And the cycles of individual countries, be they whether they fall or new countries begin, there still will be nations with their own identities and rhythms.
Do you see us going off planet as a and how will affect, will that create a new cycle of new civilization?
These are great questions. Absolutely. You know, the next planet that we're likely to colonize will be Mars.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, it will take quite a while before we can alter the atmosphere and get oxygen producing plants in there and so forth, warm up the planet. Dome communities haven't really worked that well with some of the experiments we did. So we're getting more into terra reformation. But that is far off in our future. When we do have colonies on Mars and beyond, maybe moons of another planet, I do expect that we might find that the internal rhythms on those countries are different than the ones we have on Earth. I love that question.
Interesting. So, and as I think we meet other civilizations, because I think rhythms of countries interact with other countries as we perhaps meet other beings and interact with other worlds, there might be fluctuations in patterns because they might not be as static and as rhythmic as we think we are. Just like, you know, some people have their cycles, but they may encounter something that has to extend their physical cycle a little bit. I mean, I don't know. Is there any, like, of that leeway within the physical, personal, or national, or global? Or
absolutely. And the model for that would be looking at international relations. You know, the fluctuation in currencies, in currency exchange, is interesting because a cycle that is high, a nation that has its cycles very high, tends to have stronger currency. But when those cycles turn down, the currency weakens. When you look at the trade between Japan and the United States, it was interesting because by the latter 1980s, the United States was declining on the physical cycle, but Japan was still strong. So they come over, they buy Rockefeller Center, they begin increasing their imports of automobiles because they were very strong at the time. But then by the late 1990s, the cycles began to reverse. The physical cycle of the United States crossed up in 1999, and the previously high cycle for Japan had been going down into a low. So the trade imbalance began to shift. They started going through their scandals with politicians, and they started having industrial decline relative to the United States. Mm-hmm. So we were in different positions just because we were basically born, our cycles were set at different times. And this affected the trade. There was so much trade going between the United States and Japan that we have plenty of records that we can monitor these changes and see the differences.
We have to wrap up here. David, thank you. Tell us about, I mean, we'll continue the conversation on this coming Thursday, January 24, 2013, at the Meta Center. You can find information on my website, newrealities.com. But tell us how to find you. Tell us about your radio show and all the things you're doing.
Thank you. And I'm very excited about the show that's coming up. To find out more about this and other things in the world of cycles, just go to kalarhythms.org, K-A-L-A, rhythms.org, where you can find out about the radio show, which is going to be covering our event January 24th, live from the Meta Center from 7 until 9, 10 p.m. Mm-hmm. Eastern Time. That's also going to be broadcast live on the Cycles of Change radio program. You can find it at kalarhythms.org or go directly to blogtalkradio.com/cycles. 2 hours of the January 24th event you mentioned will be carried live in a special program on the Cycles of of change.
Well, thank you. I've been talking to David Katzmeier. This is New Realities with Alan Steinfeld on bbsradio.com. And I think BBS will be doing some of these remote broadcasts as well. But thank you for being a guest. And David, let's do this again. And as you get more information, because I think you're always gathering more and modifying what you've came up with, that things are evolving in your world.
Thank you, Alan. I look forward to it.
All right. Thanks a lot. Thanks for everything. Look forward to seeing you next week on the 24th. And this is Alan Steinfeld for New Realities. If you want to reach me, you can email me at newrealities@earthlink.net. And you can check my website for upcoming events, new articles, new videos at newrealities.com. Thanks for listening.